Hello, and welcome to the Atlas Mara Interim Results 2019 conference call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Michael Wilkerson, the Executive Chairman. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Mike Wilkerson here speaking, Chairman of Atlas Mara. Welcome to the Atlas Mara Interim Results call. I'm here with our CFO, Omar Khan, and members of our management team. Thanks to all for joining us this afternoon. I wanted to dive right into some of the highlights from the first half. We'll start with our results, and then we'll comment on a couple of the other strategic transactions and UBN. For the first half, adjusted operating profit was 17 million, up from 13.4 million in the previous period. That's 0.10 per share, compared with 0.08 in the previous period. We had an accounting adjustment, an accounting loss of 126 million related to the reclassification of the banks in the strategic transaction with Equity Group under IFRS 5 as assets held for sale or discontinued operations. That impact resulted, while it was primarily goodwill and intangibles, resulted in a book value decline to 2.96 per share from 3.83 at the year-end. Tangible book value only marginally impacted, down from 3 dollars per share to 2.84 dollars at the half. We had a strong, very strong first half, actually, at UBN, and seeing continued performance as we move through the second half. Favorable results from Zimbabwe, despite very severe macroeconomic challenges, the bank has continued to perform. Botswana similarly performing very well. ROEs for both Zimbabwe and Botswana in double-digit range, and Botswana has just declared its first dividend at the interim of June 2019. We'll come back with a little bit more detail on operating performance in a minute. Couple highlights. In February, we announced the board was undertaking a review of strategic alternatives, including focusing on core markets, where we believe that we would have sufficient scale and a path to profitability. That included a couple of initiatives around UBN and the transaction with Equity Group. On the latter, I'm pleased to report that the transaction is on track. We're making good progress. Due diligence is completed, and we're now in the final stages of finalizing definitive documentation, which will need to be approved by the boards of each of Atlas Mara and Equity Group, and thus remain subject to that approval and will be subject to regulatory engagement. It's a complicated transaction in that there are four countries involved, and thus four sales, four regulatory processes. Those engagements have begun. They have been constructive, and they are ongoing. We expect to be able to update the markets in the coming days as to the status of that transaction as it evolves. With regard to UBN and our stated strategic priority of focusing on UBN and Nigeria as a core market for Atlas Mara, over the course of the semester, we have increased our ownership from 49% at year-end to 49.75% at the end of June, and 49.9% by the end of September. We expect to be able to achieve majority control shortly, pending regulatory engagements. If we had looked at the results at the end of June on a pro forma basis, assuming the consolidation of UBN, it would have resulted in a balance sheet which showed 7.2 billion in assets, 2.4 billion in loans, 3.4 billion in deposits, and 3.07 dollars in book value per share, or 2.82 in tangible book value. So accretive on a book value basis and flat to marginally dilutive on a tangible book value basis at the time. Subsequent to period end, in fact, only this morning, UBN announced that it had signed an agreement with the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, OPIC, for a $200 million 10-year debt financing deal to support growth initiatives, primarily focused on small and medium-sized enterprises and women's initiatives in Nigeria. We're very pleased with the performance of UBN, and we'll come on to that and talk a bit more about it in just a minute. As we look forward for the rest of the year, we've got a handful of priorities that we are focused on, including continuing to drive the transaction with Equity Group to conclusion. We're very focused on addressing the share price disconnect from the underlying value of the Atlas Mara franchise, and we continue to pivot the group to focus on the support of UBN management to position the bank for sustainable dividends, continued growth, and enhanced profitability. Our focus means that we're targeted on means to improve our results in our core markets, which also includes a more defensive protection of the franchise in Zimbabwe, which continues to perform well despite a very challenging environment, and to shift the Atlas Mara structure from a more complicated group with centralized in its functions to a streamlined holding company structure focused on its core investments in UBN in Nigeria, UBN in Nigeria, in Zimbabwe, in Botswana, and shortly through our investment in Equity Group into six new countries where Equity currently participates today. If we look going forward, that focus means we will be more narrowly focused with our operational expertise moving from the center to our core markets. We'll have a majority control of profitable and scaled operations in each core market, with each of our banks today performing with ROEs above 10% and with continued expected improvement over time. We'll be a meaningful shareholder and a strong growing operator in Equity Group. And in regard to UBN, we're positioned to take majority control pending ongoing regulatory engagement. As we move forward, I want to talk just a little bit about UBN first half highlights. Very good performance for UBN. Improved return on equity from 6.4 last year to 10.3 in the first half of 2019. Underlying profits were up. Loans and deposits were up. Regulatory capital increased from 16.4 to 19.4% as the bank continues to strengthen its underlying balance sheet to withstand the vagaries of the market. The bank was able to increase its customers by 14% from the previous year, and we saw increases across all digital channels, including active mobile users, ATM, online, point of sale. And I've already mentioned the successful conclusion of the facility with OPIC, which we believe is going to be a milestone in that market and really help to drive core initiatives for small, medium-sized enterprises and for women's initiatives in the country. Botswana, I already mentioned, has performed well. ROEs above 10% and improving dividends were declared for the first time for this interim period, and a number of new initiatives, which we've detailed in the RNS, were laid out. Zimbabwe, in the midst of a very challenging macroeconomic environment, the bank continues to perform very well. We have a strong team. We have a new CEO that is leading, Lance Mambandiani, who has joined us as of July following the retirement of our CEO, Joe Sabanda. He's got a great track record in the country and is helping navigate ABC Zimbabwe through a difficult environment. We mentioned at year-end a write-down of the capital due to the foreign currency translation, the devaluation of the currency. Since then, the Zimbabwean dollar has continued to devalue against the U.S. dollar. We described this a bit in our press release. I will say that the bank continues to perform very well. Profits are up and performing for the quarter on a U.S. dollar basis and comparable returns, including an 88% increase in non-interest income as a result of a strong markets and treasury trading operation in the environment. We are concerned about the market. It is in an extreme environment at the moment. We are concerned about our employees, the families, and the communities, and are doing everything we can do to help support them in the midst of a hyperinflationary environment with a number of pressures, both at a business and at a human level. Just to close out, as a reminder, the strategic transaction will result in us becoming a meaningful shareholder in Equity Group. We announced in April that was approximately 6.5%. We do continue to expect that to be the range of our shareholdings. We will only know the precise amount at closing. Each of these four banks are in different markets. They are separate purchase agreements. They are subject to purchase price adjustments at closing, which could include currency movement, share price movement, movement in net asset value. But directionally, we believe we are on track with what was communicated in April. As a reminder, Equity Group has presence in over 10 countries, 1.6 billion U.S. dollar equivalent market capitalization, 6.5 billion in assets, and return on equity in excess of 24.4%. I want to close out my prepared remarks and open it up for questions. And I think the best way to close it out is just to go back to the priorities As we close out the year, we are focused on driving the strategic transaction to its conclusion, to assisting UBN management as they continue to improve profitability at the bank and drive returns. We're aware of and very focused on addressing the share price disconnect from the underlying value of the franchise. As at today, our share price is substantially below our tangible book value, and we don't believe that that has a basis in value. We're going to be focused on our core markets and, again, continue to focus on transitioning the group as the strategy evolves from a centralized structure to a streamlined holding company with the expertise and operations embedded in our very good and talented management teams in each market in which we operate. With that, I'd like to pause and open it up for any questions from the room.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question via the telephones, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will be a brief pause while telephone questions are being registered. And our first question comes from the line of Arash Safari of Quare Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Hey, Arash Safari, you may go ahead and ask your question. If you have your line muted, please unmute. Again, we seem to have no sound from the line of Arash Safari. Just to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, do please press 01 on your telephone keypad. You can press 02 at any time to cancel. We'll now have a further pause while any questions are being registered. And it seems we have a question now from the line of David Norland of Norland Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes. Could you please clarify what role Bob Dimon currently has in the operations of the bank? Thanks.
Thanks, David. No, happy to do so. Bob continues to be a director of Atlas Mara, and we continue to work together to drive shareholder value. But he is on the board, and he's chair of our nominations committee.
Once again, just to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, do please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And our next question comes from the line of Liam Gold of MPG Asset Management. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, hello there. Yes, I just wanted to understand the movement in central costs a little further. Obviously, they were up in the first half. I know the strategic review is obviously underway, but just wanted to get a sense of where the central cost is being, where the burden is sort of falling currently, and where you're moving to strategically as we look ahead a year or so, just to get a bit more color on that.
Thank you, Liam. No, happy to address it. I think what I will say is that it's difficult in the numbers to see some of the initiatives that are undertaking. And in fact, I would suggest that where it's going to begin to come through will be in 2020. So this year, while we have undertaken a number of initiatives and those have begun, some of those costs are going to be one-time in nature and non-recurring. So the increase that you see, which was roughly 7.5%, a good portion of that is non-recurring in nature. As I mentioned, our intention is to, following completion of the strategic transactions, because, by the way, in the meantime, we continue to provide services and support to all of the countries that are involved, that are included in the transaction until closing, and in some cases for a short transitional period thereafter. Once that is completed, we believe that we are planning towards and expect a fundamental reshift of the group structure and a substantial reduction in group costs.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Wahid Chamas of Tiergate Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thanks, Wahid.
Great, excellent. Hi. So just two questions. One, I appreciate your attention on the stock price. Obviously, you're doing buybacks. They're, you know, frustratingly small given, I guess, some trading restrictions. But maybe you could help me understand if we can pick the pace up a little bit and when that can be picked up and when that can resume. And then a more fun question is if you could just give us a little bit of blue sky scenarios or any scenario for that matter on the OPIC funding and what that actually would mean on the bottom line. Like, so let me put it this way. Without giving guidance necessarily, you know, why do you think this is important? It's obviously optically important, and I can understand, but if you can just give us a little bit of a preview on what it could do to the numbers, that would be helpful.
Sure. Thanks. I appreciate it. Let me take the first one first. So we do have a buyback authorization of $10 million. As you've rightly pointed out, that is subject to a limitation, specifically to a percentage of the daily volume on the LSE, which as a practical matter makes that program somewhat small in its effect as a result. So I think you'll be aware that the trading volume itself is low, and I believe the LSE restriction caps us at no more than 25% of the daily volume in any event. As part of our strategic review, we are asking a number of questions and the broader questions around, you know, what are other alternatives and other ways to help resolve this disconnect between underlying value and the share price. In terms of the OPIC relationship, you know, I'll defer to UBN management on this in terms of the details, but this was a very important milestone for UBN in providing a very sizable, stable source of long-term funding at an attractive price point, attractive cost to company, that will enable a number of initiatives, as I mentioned, SMEs and women's initiatives in particular, with some support from OPIC, not just the financial support, but technical and relational support that can be brought to bear. So I will demur from getting into specifics on what the numbers mean and I'll defer to the UBN management team on that. But we do believe that it is going to be a very positive benefit, both in terms of the franchise itself, but also the financial result and enabling growth in those initiatives through a wider and stable source of funding.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. And we have no further questions at this time, so if I could hand the call back to our speakers for closing comments.
All right. Well, thanks again to everyone for joining us this afternoon, and appreciate your time on this Monday, and we look forward to continuing our dialogue with you.
This now concludes our call. Thank you for attending. Participants, you may disconnect your line.